You're listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC, right here on Sports Byline.
You are tuned to the longest-running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. My name is Pedro Fernandez. As I plug back in my headphones, which pulled out when I ripped away from the console here, we take it. I think she's in Texas right now. I'm talking about the pound-for-pound toughest woman I've ever met in my entire life, in Christy Martin. Christy, how's life treating you?
Hey, Pedro, you know, we're in Texas, and, you know, just doing what we're doing, trying to grow up and be a boxing promoter.
How's that working out for you? You had a show last week. How'd that go?
You know, Pedro, it was so much more fun and so much easier to be the fighter, but it's a challenge every day to keep the fights together, to deal with all the personalities and attitudes of the fight, not just the fighters, but the fight camps. That's usually the attitude, but, you know, it's a challenge. I'm up for it, and I'm going to see how far we can make this promotion thing go.
You know, we were promoting the card here in San Francisco, and I was a ring announcer and the matchmaker and the co-promoter waiting for this four-round fighter to come downstairs from the locker room, and he never came downstairs, so I had to go upstairs, and I go, what are you doing? He goes, if you want me to come downstairs and fight your guy, I want $500 or more. So he shook me down for $500, and he came down, and he floored my guy, and then he got robbed.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the craziest stuff happens in these club shows. The same thing happened at one of the, I think it was actually Haseem Rahman's son was supposed to fight at some show it was at, and the kid, the opponent did the same thing. You know, he held the promoter up for an extra grand, and, you know, what are you going to do? You're here, the people are there to watch the fight, and you know, almost have to pay it.
No. What you do is you con him into taking a check.
There you go.
You kind of made it taking it. But then again, you've got people. I remember you mentioned Haseem Rahman. I remember HBO, Cedric Kushner gave him had a $24 million check for him to fight, I forget, it was Lennox Lewis again or something like that. Anyway, but the bottom line is he took $350,000 in cash from Don King. So $350,000 from $24 million, big difference.
You know, but DK had that way about him. You know, he could put the dream out there and make it bigger than anybody else's presentation.
You know, Christy, he of course is the world's greatest promoter. He treated me like gold 99.9% of the time I was around him. He treated my child like gold as well. But he treated you very specially. I mean, he sort of took you under his wing, didn't he?
Oh, for sure. I mean, without Don King, women's boxing, not just me, but women's boxing wouldn't be where it is today.
Okay. And, you know, he's just turned 90. We did a birthday thing for him like less than a month ago. He just turned 90. I'm not seeing any public appearances of him. I'm not hearing him talking. He hasn't talked to me. Hasn't picked up the phone in about 6 months. Do you talk to him still?
I talk to him about once a week. And, you know, yes, he just turned 90. I think it was August 20th was the day. Has some big ideas, and we'll see. You know, he has the WBA heavyweight champion, Trevor Bryan. A lot of people aren't familiar with, but DK is trying to leverage that title into something bigger. And then also he has the WBA cruiserweight title, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm looking back at your career here, man. Young lady, what an accomplished career, no doubt about that. And you are as exciting, the coal miner's daughter, this and that. How did the coal miner's daughter, how did that image come to life? Are you really a coal miner's daughter?
For sure I am. I'm really a coal miner's daughter. I'm Southern West Virginia, and I was actually at a fight in Las Vegas, one of my first fights with DK, and Jimmy Lennon Jr. wanted to name me all these different names, and finally he settled on, what about the coal miner's daughter? And I was like, okay, but I have to get Loretta Lynn to give me her blessing. And I was able to actually speak with Loretta Lynn and got her blessing, and now I'm a coal miner's daughter. You know, those people that know Loretta Lynn, she's the coal miner's daughter.
Yeah. What was it like? Was there a lot of pressure on you carrying the woman's mantle like it was? I mean, you were a pioneer. There were women's boxing before you, but not on the main stage.
You know, Pedro, that was the whole thing. I just wanted to be a fighter. I wanted to fit in. I didn't want to make waves. I just wanted to. I so much wanted to just be a fighter, and I felt like every time I went into the ring, I was promoting women's boxing, but I never had to really talk about it. Now, after all these years, I realize that I did make a difference, and probably back then I should have spoken up more and maybe could have really changed the face of women's boxing more than I did. But without Don King's help, without Nita Vogarty being the toughest tough as nails opponent. Mm-hmm. I mean, we did this together and really, really got people to stand up and take attention to make it a notice of women's boxing. But with that being said, as you mentioned, women have been boxing since the 1800s. And there were many that came before us, and many hopefully will come after us, but they'll have a little bit through the road to travel.
You know, we did some, I remember Rick Kulis, when I was working for him, the promoter down there in Southern California, we did female cards all over the country. We did a couple, one in Virginia, one in Atlantic City, one in Lula, Mississippi. I'll never forget that one, Lula, Mississippi. And, of course, we did one in Southern California. So Rick was trying to capitalize on you fighting as a woman, this and that. He never really got going.
Well, it's a hard sell. Women's boxing is tough enough to sell. And then when you make a card of all women's boxing, it's even harder to sell. I don't have the same mindset, I guess, as a lot of the female fighters. I don't understand why it's a bad thing to be mixed in with, a Tyson fight, a Trinidad, one of these major fight cards. Why not be one of the undercard fighters and really build up exposure? And you know, when we get to that point, then we can make a stand. But first of all, we had to get to that point where we're strong enough to carry our own shows. And then maybe there is an all-women's card, but what does it matter? Let's do a mixed show.
Okay.
Andy, well, of course, women are fighting women, and men are fighting men.
Yeah. Andy wants to know what it was like to be a co-main event with Mike Tyson.
I don't think people understand how it is at a Mike Tyson show. It's not like the day before the fight or the day of the fight that you start feeling the buzz. It's like 2 weeks, at least 2 weeks before the fight, everybody in Las Vegas starts talking about Mike Tyson fight, and you can feel the energy as you walk through the casino. There was nothing like it. And I've been to a lot of fights, not Mike Tyson fights, and the same buzz and the same vibe just isn't there. He brought something that so far I haven't seen anyone else do.
Okay. Second question from Andy for Christy Martin. Will you come back and fight? All these people are doing YouTube exhibitions, things like that. Are you considering it?
I would love to, but I had a stroke in 2011, and actually I'm in a brain study in Las Vegas. So just recently I went back to the brain study, and my wife Lisa was there, and the doctor explained to her, don't let me get hit in the head anymore. So as much as I would love to, trust me, leave, I would love to. And if I were on my own and only living for me, I would be back in the ring. But I love my wife, and I spent a long time not being happy. So to be happy now, I'm not going to pass that up for the next 20 or 30, maybe 40 years.
Now, that was quite a lifestyle change for you, no doubt about that, getting married again. And, of course, your ex-husband found out about your wanting to get married with somebody else, and he flipped out and shot you and stabbed you. I mean, can you go through that and not live the nightmare and tell me about that?
Oh, you know, Pedro, it wasn't exactly like that. Jim knew that everything. He knew that I had girlfriends prior to my relationship with him. And I was leaving Jim. I told him, I'm leaving you. I'm not leaving you for anyone. I'm not leaving you for any reason other than I am leaving you. And, of course, you know, the media got a hold of it and sensationalized it a little bit and made it all about I was leaving him for a woman. That really isn't the truth. But, Yeah, he shot me, stabbed me, cut me up, left me for dead, but God is good and God has a plan for me. So I was able to get up and get out of there that night. I am bothering you today.
Wait. So the bottom line is you got shot and you got stabbed and you got up and like walked to a doctor or walked to like picked up the phone. What happened?
Pedro, we're fighters. Well, you know what I did? I got the keys, I put to my car, and I got out of the house and I went to my car and I'm going to drive myself to the hospital. I have a bullet in my chest. He missed my heart by 3 inches with a 9mm, my own 9mm. I cuts all over me, punctured lungs gurgling. I am scared to death, but I'm going to drive myself to the hospital. But when I get to my car, I have the wrong keys. So I have a choice to go back in the house and try to find the right keys. Or as I say, go to the middle of the road and basically carjack somebody. And that's what I did. I decided to go to the middle of the road and, One of my neighbors, actually, that I didn't know, stopped, picked me up, and rushed me to the hospital.
Wow. And you know, I read about that. I mean, I'm a former policeman, a licensed private investigator, so I hear of all kinds of different domestic assaults and crazy assaults and people killing each other and, you know, all kind of crazy good stuff. But, you know, I got to say this. your ex-husband was a little bit of a weirdo while I was trying to deal with him. He was just weird. I'm sorry, but he was weird around me. That's the way I picked it up.
He was weird around everybody and so many people. You know what? The honest to God, the truth is, no one has come back to me and said, you know, I just can't understand this. Everybody has a story. Everybody's story is he was so weird. He was so always controlling you and keeping you isolated from everybody. You know, like I said, everybody has a story and none of it's positive.
Okay. So tell me about the Netflix movie. I mean, Vive TV, the Daniela of Jockelman and John Jockelman, and we're like going berserk over there. Watch, I called them at the home at their house a couple weeks ago. They're watching. Shut up, bro. Get off my. What's up? What's up? Like, it's like the end of the world. No, they're watching you on Netflix. What's up with that?
Yeah, it was awesome. You know, I get a call a few years ago from Netflix, and they're like, we would like to do this documentary. And look, you know me. I'm from Southern West Virginia. My town has 500 people, and I'm thinking, yeah, sure. You know, Netflix wants to do a documentary, and I tell the guy, yeah, I'm interested. And then, sure enough, you know, a little bit later, here comes the contract, and then we start with the filming, and it was great. It was a lot of fun. I got to spend some time with Jimmy Maloney, who I sparred with all those years, and came out to Vegas, and got to spend some time with Miguel Diaz, Deirdre Gogarty, you know, Leila Ali. Spoke on the documentary, and then really, like, some people have talked to me, and they're like, oh, Layla was, you know, Layla didn't say very nice things about you. Layla said the truth. Layla said, you know, why did little Chrissy Martin want to fight me? Well, you know, we needed to fight each other, because she needed me, you know, I needed her, we needed each other, and it should have taken women boxing to the next level, but it didn't, because basically Layla was getting ready to do something else. Had she stayed around in women's boxing, I think it would have continued to grow, but she was on to her personal life and doing her own thing.
So before we close things off, tell me about the special person in your life. Tell me about your wife.
My wife is she's usually awesome. She gives me support to do whatever I want to do. She's there by me all the time. And, you know, we went 10 rounds in Mandalay Bay. And then she came down and sparred with me a couple years later. And actually, she's the only woman that I ever got dropped by. I mean, even with Layla, I took a knee. She didn't really drop me. I took a knee. But at least I twisted out Pedro to land this big left hook. And when I twisted out, I left my feet, and boom, she caught me with this upper hook, that kind of thing she throws. And I found myself right on my butt.
Last week, a young lady by the name of Amanda Serrano, who was 26-1, was able to show her skills on a big stage, at Jake Paul stage. Although I was against the YouTube thing at the originally, the fact that they sold 16,000 tickets in Cleveland and got over 2 million people to buy it on pay-per-view is a statement in itself. But this young lady got a big platform to appear on, and I really think she needed it as far as women's boxing, because her and Clarissa Shields are supposedly to the future, right?
Well, I think Amanda Serrano has she has that style, the charisma that the fight fans can really connect with. I am twisted about this social media boxers and stuff, but if because of Jake Paul, she can get a really much larger platform, more people can see her, then it's all positive, you know. We got to take chances when we can, take advantage of opportunities that are given to us. And I think she was ready. I actually was traveling that night and didn't get to see the fight, but I heard she looked, you know, fantastic. And I always give her a lot of congratulations and praise.
Well, I've got nothing but praise and congratulations for you, young lady. I'm really impressed the fact that you're able to rock and roll as a promoter. And you got a couple of minutes to talk about your promotion after the break? Can we go to the break and come back and talk?
Absolutely.
You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. More with the coal miner's daughter, Chrissy Martin, after the break. Tower of Power to the break.
Oh, look at me, a lonely man in a busy world. I try to get ahead, but too many times.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
Whoever she may be, look at me again. Again, I see how full my life could be with the love.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
The the horns from the boys from Oakland, California, Tower Power. Check them out, towerpower.com. They've got a couple. Cudi says they're not albums anymore, they're drops. So Tower Power has some new drops, and of course that's not one of them, but the bottom line is they have some new drops at towerpower.com. On the line, I think she's in Texas, of course, the former pound-for-pound queen of women's boxing, no doubt about that, one of the baddest women I've ever met in my life, and I don't mean it because she was a tough boxer. The fact that she's survived, she's here on the air to talk to me, after, of course, after being shot and stabbed by her ex-husband, and she tried to drive herself to the hospital. You sort of remind me of Joe Frazier. Joe Frazier got drunk with Tom Christie, and he got drunk with Tom. He was mowing his back, he was mowing his lawn, and he pulled the power mower back over his shoe. And he chopped off two toes. Okay, so he drove himself to the hospital.
Wow, yeah. I didn't know that story. Yeah. I didn't know that story.
Good old Joe Frazier. You know, you fought Mia St. John. You didn't get to fight Lucia Riker. Is that a disappointment? Was that a disappointment? Because there was some advertising money out there. I think when I was doing radio back then, I think somebody approached me with some advertising money on that.
You know, I had signed the contract to fight Lucia, and actually, it was the day I was supposed to get on the plane to go to Vegas for the fight. I get a call from Miguel Diaz that the fight is off, that she was injured. And, you know, I'm going to be honest with you, to this day, I don't believe it. Whatever. I was always up for the fight. I tried to get DK to make the fight. I know I caught all this not happening. And people thought it was my fault that I didn't want the fight to happen. I wanted the fight all along. I wanted the fight from word go because I'm a fighter. Winners are draw. I'm going to go out there and fight the best. So I wish it would have happened. I did everything in my power to make it happen. But unfortunately for me and the boxing fans, it didn't.
Okay. The Netflix exposure has got you a Newsweek magazine story. Newsweek magazine says, who is Christy Martin, this and that. Now you've got a promotional business. Are you exclusively in Florida with that?
No, we're actually in Florida and up in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. It's tough. Boxing is a tough sell. It's hard to find that fighter that, just kind of the general public fight fans will get behind a young and upcoming guy. But I do have some talented young fighters. Anthony Sevilla, he's 2-0-1. He actually just had a draw. Because he got a little lackadaisical, let his hands down and got caught, got dropped in a 4-round fight. And thank goodness he had dropped the guy in the first round, so he ended up with a draw. Have a good kid out of Florida, Crescent City, Florida, Tony Aguilar. He's 6-0 now and beating other undefeated, up-and-coming young talent. So I'm excited. We have Victorino Gonzalez, who's coming through a little tough spot in his career. But we're going to see. You know, hopefully we find that fresh new face for Christy Martin to Christy Martin promotions to really move to the forefront.
Okay, so how are you doing this in the world of COVID?
You know, it was a tough thing. Gardner Payne worked with me a lot, and we did some no audience or very limited audience shows that were televised back to Argentina. Luckily, in Myrtle Beach, it has been open to maybe like at least 75% capacity. This last fight was full 100%. Florida's been more open than most states. But it's a struggle because there's still that group of people, a little hesitant to get out and to be in that enclosed area and big group of other people. And the boxing fans, a lot of the boxing fans are a little older. So they, again, more cautious and not wanting to be exposed to the possibility of COVID.
Okay. When you look at the current women's boxing picture, Clarissa Shields, she doesn't do a whole lot for me, I'm sorry, but she's undefeated and she's a WBC champion. I want to mention that. Amanda Serrano does things for me. Are there any women boxers that you see that are going to have the potential to step up and be a superstar like you were?
You know, I think it's just going to take somebody with a little charisma, a little personality. And I don't think Clarissa Shields is it. I do think if Clarissa Shields was fighting in the 90s when I was there and Lisa was there, and I mean Kathy Collins from New York, she would have a long struggle. I am very proud. I think she's obviously the greatest amateur fighter, female fighter that we've ever had. But she as a pro doesn't do it for me either, and I don't think she does it for the general fight fan. But with that being said, I just left this tournament of all women, and the young, I'm talking about little 8 and 9 year old little girls that are throwing combinations, straight punches, slipping and sliding. It's unbelievable. So if the superstar doesn't come in this generation, I have a little girl that I work with out in Vegas. She's 12 years old, 85 pounds, Zoe Bustamante. Look at her, look her up on YouTube. This little girl can fight. And, you know, this generation, this next generation is going to make a difference in women's boxing.
Okay. What do you say to young ladies that are thinking about boxing? You know, pretty girls, isn't it? Well, if you're a pretty girl, should you box?
You know, I think, you know, Oscar De La Hoya is a pretty boy. So, you know, Alexis Arguello, pretty boy. You, pretty boy. You know, I don't think that can factor into it. I think if it's something you want to do, this is what I tell male or females. Go to the gym. Use boxing as a workout first. Mm-hmm. See how hard you have to work to become a true boxer. And then do you want to give the dedication and the discipline 24/7, 365 to boxing that you have to give to become a successful fighter? And then, you know, hey, if you're in, then give it a shot. But try to surround yourself with good people, which, again, you know, it's boxing, so it's hard to find. Be careful. You know, but be in shape. Don't take any chances.
Dedicating yourself to the craft, I mean, the running twice a day sometimes, the workouts, the diet. I remember being around Duran and Hector Martinez telling me how Duran was grumpy when he had to lose weight. This then. I never had to lose a lot of weight. Did you have to lose a lot of weight at times?
You know, I struggled. It was never a lot of weight, but I think it's so much harder for females than males. I see these young guys, they'll go, oh, don't worry, I'm 10 pounds overweight and it's fight week. And I'm like freaking out because I never had to lose more than 10 pounds from the time I started training for a specific fight to fight time. And it was a struggle. These guys can lose that in 2 days, but, you know, that's being a young male. I never had to lose a lot of weight, but I did struggle with just those few pounds that I had to lose. It was always hard.
Was that a psychological thing? I think it was a psychological thing with me. In other words, I walked around at 45, 46, and I had to make 40 or 39, and somehow I get to 41, all of a sudden I'm stressing.
I think you're right. I think stress plays a big key in it, and if you could just relax and just focus on the training, the weight will come off. But when you sit there and really dwell on, oh my God, I have, you know, 2 pounds more to go, it seems like it just stays. It doesn't want to go anywhere.
Okay. Tell me about life right now with Lisa. What's life, what's married life like?
Yeah, well, you know, I told everybody that I knew that if ever I come into you, and I mean from my hairdresser to my banker to everybody, like if I ever tell you I'm serious about somebody, smack me upside the head, because the last thing I want is in a real relationship. And then here comes Lisa, you know, blindsiding me out of the blue. And so 2017, July, we've been together since then. We were married in November of 2017.
November 25th.
I'm living in Austin with her now. I'm an East Coast girl, so she does get behind and the promotions being back in Myrtle Beach and in Florida. But she's pushing hard for me to try to do something in Texas. We'll see. Okay. But it's great. Like I said, I've never had somebody just give me support and someone that's okay with me being me. It's okay. You know, if people want to do pictures, it's okay. If people want to talk to you about boxing, it's okay. Everybody else has always been...
The other guy was a weirdo. The other guy, I remember telling him one time, hey, can I get a picture with Christy O'Hara? And he's giving me all this spit with an H. We can't say that on the radio, okay? But he's giving me all this spit with an H. And I want to, you know, and I'm being patient about this. And then I went to King and I said, you know, I went to Don. I said, you know, the Christy's husband's giving me a bunch of smackers. He goes, oh, Pedro, you got to deal with him with kid gloves, blah, 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 blah. But anyway, he was what he was. Tell me what I'm going to learn with Deal with the Devil. If I turn into Netflix and I watch this documentary on you, Deal with the Devil, what will it tell me about Christy Martin?
You know what? I don't know what you're going to learn so much about that you maybe don't already know about me. But what I think what you're going to come away with is that, hey, the underdog story. You know, if this coal miner's daughter from a small town of 500 people in southern West Virginia can make it, basically, I feel like I made it to the top of the boxing world. And that's a big world to climb. I mean, for a woman, that's a big world to climb. So I feel like I really made it in boxing. So it's a little bit, you're going to get some motivation and inspiration It's going to talk about sexuality and these people that are maybe young people, maybe older people. I don't know. They're hiding their sexuality and who they really are. How you need to step out and be who you really are and don't just quit hiding. And then, of course, the domestic violence. And that's what I think so many people are not aware of is domestic violence isn't always just about the bruises. You know, Jim's saying, and you know this, Jim's saying with me was so much control, so much manipulation and mental and psychological abuse and control more than physical until it became physical. So I think that's what hopefully everybody takes something away in one of those categories.
Okay, last question for you, Tex. I thought we'd end on that one. But the bottom line is they want to know how you dealt with the pressure. What's it like to deal with the pressure? I mean, you're a woman. This is a man's business. You're the co-main event for Julio Cesar Chavez and people like that. How do you deal with the pressure?
You know, I use the pressure for motivation, and I turned it around, and I didn't look at it as pressure. I looked at it like, you know, I'm one of those, if you tell me I can't do something, sit back and watch because I'm going to do it or die. And that's what, each and every time out, I tried to punch bell to bell. I tried to throw big punches. I tried to be exciting. I bring as much action as possible because I didn't want to give anybody any reason to have any negativity to throw on me. And, that's how I dealt with it. Just like, hey, I'm going to show you.
So have you got a website regarding your promotion?
ChristyMartinPromotions.com. And then, of course, we're all over social media, Christy Martin Promotions on Instagram, on Facebook, and Christy's Champs, my nonprofit for domestic violence awareness. We do a lot of things with the amateur fighters with Christy's Champs, putting computers in gyms, bringing mentors, tutors, really trying to make a difference.
You sound like you are making a difference. You know what? I mean, I get to interview a lot of people that have 15, 20 years removed from boxing, and their story isn't always as positive as this one, young lady. And I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you and Lisa. I'm glad you guys have got together, that you guys have forged a relationship. You guys have been married since the day after my birthday, November 25th, 2017. So I give you guys the most props in this and that, and continued success in both promotions and life, young lady. You really deserve it, because I got news for you. When I read that you got shot and stabbed, and I didn't read any further. In other words, I read Christy Martin was shot and stabbed, and that just sort of like knocked me like off my chair. I just couldn't believe it. When I read on that you were still alive, this was like right on. But
right.
I was freaking out there. I mean, 'cause I'm an ex-cop. You read something that somebody's shot and stabbed, you're not going to expect them to be surviving, young lady. So you are the champion of champions regardless of boxing.
Thank you so much, and I'm blessed. God has blessed me and given me a kind of a second chance, or maybe a third chance even. So I'm going to try to make the best of it.
Okay. All the best, young lady. Say hello to Lisa, and I thank you for your time.
Will do. Take care. Thank you.
The great Christy Martin on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check her out, Christy Martin Promotions, of course. Man, Christy's got some things going on, doesn't she? A whole lot of positive going on there, no doubt about that. The coal miner's daughter, that was an honor. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Only so much oil in the ground, according to Tower of Power, right? Gas is over $4 a gallon.